Gasping for breath, his lungs feeling as if they were on fire, Silas groaned and rubbed his chest in pain. Fingers were coiling as they encountered the red-hot lump of a flattened bullet. Instantly, the pre-dark scientist realized what was happening and tried to scramble under the LAV. The boom of a high-powered rifle rolled over the complex, and a second round plowed directly into his throat, clearing the vest by an inch. Blood sprayed onto the stunned crowd of SecMen, the impact knocking Silas sideways, arms flailing. The second boom arrived just as the third round punched a hole below his left eye, the entire back of his head exploding into a grisly spray of brains and bones. Even as he fell, a fourth shot slammed into his vest again, driving the corpse backward into the exposed wiring of the transformer. His arms hit the bus bars. There was a crackle of power, and 80,000 volts of direct current flowed through the dead man in a controlled lightning bolt. His hair burst into flames, his blood boiled into steam, eyes exploded, and his clothes ignited as writhing tendrils of high voltage crawled over his twisting form. Backing away in horror, Sheffield felt a breeze brush past his face and realized what it was before the crack of the long blaster arrived. Grabbing the closest SecMan, he lifted the man off the ground and swung the blue shirt between himself and the distant hills just in time. Gasping for breath, the living shield jerked and spit out a tongue and wads of brain tissue from his mouth as two more copper-jacketed rounds arrived. Holding the corpse up, the Major moved behind the nearby LAV, then tossed it aside. Safe for the moment, he could only watch as the body of Silas Jamibu was slowly reduced to a grinning skeleton. For a split second, there seemed to be a circuit board riveted to the man's skull, and then that vanished in a wolf of flames. Sheffield thumped a fist on the armor of the LAV.
In the wag! Fire the chain gun at the hillside!
Where on the hill, sir?
Due south, just above the ridge fence. But don't open the hatch! Stay undercover!
The warning was apparently too late, as blood and teeth sprayed from the turret, followed by the rolling thunder of the long blaster.
Damn you, Ryan!
The Chief Blueshirt was positive. He knew the identity of the sniper. Who else could it be but the man Silas so hated and feared? Suddenly, Sheffield was surprised to find a blaster in his grip, and he holstered the useless weapon. At this range, he might as well throw rocks for all the good it would do. The officer wasn't even sure the chain gun could reach the fence, but it would have been worth a try. The crackling discharge at the transformer finally ceased as the material causing the short circuit was cleaned off the fully charged bus bars. Gray ash, charred cloth, and some smoking pieces of bone sprinkled to the ground. Then a flash of rainbow from the remains caught Sheffield's attention, and he saw it was the computer disk Silas had refused to let him inspect. He started for the disc, then stopped himself. A single round from the sniper would also drive him into the transformer with the same results. The disc seemed undamaged, but was temporarily out of his reach. Racing around a corner into the enclosure, a squad of armed SecMen came into view.
Sir, we heard shots!
The burly sergeant stopped talking as he took in the grisly sight of the transformer.
Oh, shit!
Fists clenched. Both of his hearts wildly pounding, Sheffield fought down the urge to stay where he was. But the man knew better than to demonstrate any weakness in front of his subordinates. Victory or death. Boldly, he walked from behind the transport, thrusting an arm toward the nearby hills.
There are the intruders! Send out every man we have. Use the dogs and the bell. Find them! The man who chills them will be promoted to major and serve as my right hand. No prisoners, you understand me? I want them dead! No prisoners!
Yes, sir!
Although visibly shaken, he managed to salute and started off at a run, already shouting orders. The rest of the SecMen closely followed, the excitement of the possible promotion wiping the shock and fear from their faces.
You!
Sheffield pointed at the SecMen in charge of the transformer.
Turn the circuits off!
Hesitantly, the blue shirt obeyed, and bracing for a shock, he threw the insulated switch. There was a snap of power, and the hum of the bus bar softly faded, but the huge copper coils continued to faintly crackle, with the secondary effect of recharging the accumulators. Moving quickly, Sheffield retrieved the disc and shoved it into a pocket.
Back on!
Sheffield impatiently walked around the transformer, until the southern hills were no longer in sight.
Power is restored, sir. Should I summon some slaves to clean up, gather the remains?
That won't be necessary.
Drawing a hand blaster, he aimed at the blue shirt and fired. Shrieking in agony, the Sekhmet fell to the ground, clutching his groin, dark blood flowing across his clothes. Ruthlessly, Sheffield fired again and again, first removing fingers, then other small body parts, until the slide of his blaster kicked back, showing it was out of ammo. Reloading, the Major started again, dissecting the man alive, until blood loss made the tattered lump of human flesh stop making noises and go unconscious. Placing the weapon against the forehead of the gurgling thing on the ground, he paused, then thumbed the safety back on and holstered the blaster.
No, you die slow. Unlike Silas, I don't tolerate failure.
Walking briskly to the lab, the new Baron of the Ville placed his palm on the wall plate and waited anxiously until it chimed and unlocked the door. Hurrying inside, Sheffield stared through the plexiglass windows at the sloping hills encircling the complex.
Better start running, Ryan, because you're next.
Let's go.
Working the bolt on the Steyr SSG-70, he opened the breech to remove the spent clip and slid in a fresh magazine.
Did you get him?
Dean shaded his eyes with a hand. Sirens started to howl. Something was on fire, sending black smoke wafting into the sky, and Sekhmet seemed to be rushing about madly. The electric lights in the guard towers flickered, died away completely, then came back on again.
Silas is dead.
Ryan eased the bolt home and started up the slope. Christy walked alongside him.
Can't get much more dead. He's gone forever.
I am only sorry I did not get to pull the trigger.
Doc was staring backward at the busy Ville.
Put a few rounds into the transformer, too, but I missed the chief Sekhmet. Bastard moved fast.
Ryan stopped at the ridge and cupped his hands. Christy stepped into his grip, and he boosted her up onto the higher ground. Then she grabbed his arms and helped him climb the steep embankment. Uzi at the ready, JB watched the hillside as the rest of the companions assisted one another. Then Ryan covered him as the wiry armorer scrambled up on his own.
Any chance they can know the shots came from this direction?
They started quickly for the trees. She would feel a lot safer once they gained some cover.
No way. I could have taken that shot from anywhere in the valley.
Just then, JB signaled a warning, and the companions went flat, shifting for cover in the stubby grass. A few seconds later, a Sekhmet in a blue shirt walked out of the pine trees with an AK-47 cradled in his arms. The man gasped at the sight of the armed companions and swung the barrel of his blaster toward them. But there was a low cough, the blue shirt fell to the ground, shook, and went still. A wisp of smoke still clinging to the muzzle of the silenced 9mm Sig Sauer, Ryan crossed to the corpse and shot it again to make sure the man was dead. Eagerly, Dean claimed the Kalashnikov and the spare ammo. Christy took the radio and inspected the device.
We can monitor their communications with this. Help us avoid any more patrols.
The radio was turned on so the sentry could receive reports or instructions. She adjusted the volume to its lowest setting so as not to give away their position. Ryan glanced at the walkie-talkie.
Air Force model. Very short range. These days even shorter. Probably reduced to line of sight.
Unless they use that big antenna.
Upon entering the woods, Doc immediately felt better with some protective cover around them. Shifting her med kit, Mildred shook her head, her beaded locks bouncing wildly.
The dish antenna would have to be pointed in the correct direction. Think of it as a radio cannon. It's got to be pointed right at whom they want to talk with.
Psh, useless.
Jack grunted as he stepped over a fallen willow tree.
We're heading for the redoubt?
First we cross the river. For once those landmines will work for us. No APC or Hummer can follow.
Sounds good.
Just then, the speaker of the walkie-talkie crackled loudly.
Sentry 24, any sign of the intruders?
The companions paused as Christy pulled the device into view. The radio blared again.
What is your status, 24? Are you in trouble?
Christy quickly turned off the radio.
Gaia, he means us. Ryan, JB, did either of you see any female Sekhmet?
Hell no.
She shoved the radio into his hands.
Then you answer quick or else they'll know where we are.
Sentry 24, where are you?
Ryan fumbled with the volume.
Raider